Morning to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I hope you can say what the song was saying there, I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And what a wonderful song, and appreciate Mr. Chambers singing it. We have such an important message for us today. Many times we live our lives like we like something or want something more than Jesus. And if our truth is, if we rather have Jesus, everything else is going to pale in comparison. So the last few weeks, we've been talking a little bit about the church, talking about what the church's purpose is. We went back and we looked at Revelation, the church of Ephesus, compared to the church of Thessalonica, and we looked at those a little bit and talked about the difference between working and a work of faith and labor of love, and a patience of hope. Last week, we looked in Philippians chapter 1 and chapter number 2, looked at different things that were the enemies or things that can harm a church. And also last Sunday night, we looked at the thought of different things that can help a church and different things that can build a church. This morning, we're going to look here in a second. As I was doing through my some of my Bible studying, some of my reading, I was going through 2 Timothy, read through 2 Timothy on a day, and I was thinking about the different things that Paul had gone through. And this morning, I like to look at encouragers, people that are encouragement, and then people that are encouragement to Paul. I was reading through 2 Timothy chapter number 4. To our knowledge, this is the last book of the Bible that Paul had written. He's writing it as he is ready to be executed, have his head taken off for the cause of Christ. And inside this passage of Scripture, you see that he's speaking to Timothy, who he calls his dearly beloved son, talking about someone he won to the Christ and someone in the ministry that's his son. But he mentions some names at the end, and I thought about how some of those are just must have been an encouragement to Paul. Now, Paul here, as the apostle, began many churches. He helped start many churches. He saw many people saved, saw many people discipled, and sent out many people to do many different things. Let's go ahead and just read to try to get the heart of this. And I want you to imagine Paul here as he's sitting in prison, knowing he's getting ready to die. You don't see him discouraged. You see him ready to go. You see him that he's saying, I fought a good fight. He's saying that everything is finished and everything is done. And he doesn't tell Timothy, hey, stop serving God. You might end up in jail. It might end up causing your life. He doesn't say that. Let's just read here a little bit. And I'd like to look a little bit about one specific character that I don't know if I've ever heard a message preached about this one specific character, or at least the way he encouraged Paul. And we'll get there in a second. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. There is a judgment coming for those that are saved and those that do not know Christ. There is a judgment coming, and we should live our lives based off of that judgment that's coming. Verse number 2, preach the word. Doesn't tell Timothy to kind of quiet down. No. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, whether it's popular or not popular. He said, preach the word. And when you're preaching, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. He says he's telling them to preach with passion. Preach the whole counsel of God. Don't candy coat things, but also learn how to preach with exhorting, with long-suffering. Be patient with people. Teach them doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I think in some vernaculars, in some ways, in many ways, that's the way it is today. There is not many churches that are teaching and preaching the truth. They're preaching and teaching the things that people want to hear instead of the things that they need to hear. And Paul is saying, don't be guilty of that. He says, preach the word. Verse number 5, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. He says, be careful in all things. Make sure even if afflictions come, continue to endure. Do the work of an evangelist. Never lose sight of the fact of people needing Christ. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. He's saying that he's getting ready to leave. He's not going to be there anymore. There's not going to be any more letters. There's not going to be any more encouraging times. There's not going to be any more times that Paul can give him advice. For I am now ready to be offered. You see that word offer. You think that Nero is getting ready to take his life. No, he is offering his life. He is willingly giving up his life for the cause of Christ. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What a fantastic verse there of a man who feels like he's done what God has called him to do since he's been saved. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. His focus, he understands there's a reward coming, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me. And you can imagine when I was reading those words, he's telling Timothy, hey, look, come, be an encouragement to me, see me one last time. And then he says, Demas hath forsaken me. Now, Demas is someone we've seen a few times in the Bible that used to be a fellow laborer alongside with Paul. But how discouraging this must be for Paul, be sitting in the prison cell, knowing he's getting ready to leave this world, and there's a man who has forsaken him and has forsaken the work of God. And we see the reason why. Having loved this present world and is departed in Thessalonica. But then you see there's a couple others. Cretans to Galatia, Titus into Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us the desire to be a blessing to our church. Help us to be people that would be encouraging to one another. And Lord, as we consider these, that what Paul is going through and what he is getting ready to offer up his body as a sacrifice for the cause of Christ, there's a few people that he mentions, a few people he thinks about. And Lord, I can only imagine how one of these is an encouragement to him over the years. And Lord, I pray that as we see some of the ways that this man encouraged Paul, that these would be things that in our own lives that we ask to be an encouragement to other believers, an encouragement especially to our church family. And Lord, I pray you work in our hearts and minds today. Help us not to be something that is a discouraging person, or help us not to be something that is just trying to cause issues and troubles. But instead, inside this church, Lord, help us to be an encouragement to one another to live for God, to live for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You might be thinking, oh, so which one is it? We're going to look at verse number 10. It's a man named Titus. And as I mentioned earlier, I've been through a lot of sermons in my life. I went through a lot of college. And while I was in college, I heard a lot of preaching, listened to a lot of preaching online. And I don't think that there's ever been a time, at least to my memory. I know when you get older, you forget things, especially when you hear preaching. Sometimes people forget it when they go out the door. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. But I never remember a message specifically about Titus and some of the work that Titus did. But as I was studying and as I was reading and I doing some reading about Titus, it came to my thought process. You know, Paul is there and he's writing this and he's talking to Timothy, and he must be disappointed about Demas. He must be disappointed that there was a man that maybe won to Christ. Some people say, well, was he really ever a Christian or not? That's a whole different topic. But he did work alongside with Paul. And he did work alongside with Paul on a number of occasions. And now he's at the end of his life, and he's given his life, and he's writing this, and he says, Demas have forsaken me. I can imagine that maybe if Timothy had not heard that, that would have broken Timothy's heart. It definitely could have been a source of discouragement if Timothy allowed it to happen. And here Paul is saying the reason why wasn't because we had a break in fellowship. It was just the fact that he loved the world more than he loved God. And then he talks about a couple others, and Titus is one of those guys. And I think about the different things that Titus had done, and there's even a book of the Bible that's written by to Titus. If you go here, and it's right down there, it says in verse chapter 1, verse number 1, in Titus, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, so this is written to Titus, and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And he says to Titus, my own son, after the common faith. Once again, this is a young man. We're assuming he's young, but he's a man. And according to tradition history, a young man that Paul had won to Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then he says in verse number 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. So there's some things that I think Titus was an encouragement to Paul about that I think we could be an encouragement to one another about. First thing I want you to think about that a person that is an encourager is someone who brings order where there is confusion. Someone who brings order where there is confusion. I know what some of you are thinking. Okay, a person who is encouraging is a person who gets, you know, says hello to you, tells you they hope you have a good day, or hope that you have a blessed day. And those are things that are encouraging. But if you go back and you think about your life, and you think about over the years, who are some of the people who have been an encouragement to you? It's not just those who maybe as you pass by give you a smile or a pat on the back, and that is a way of encouragement. But there's different things that people have done in their lives that have been an encouragement to you year after year after year. I have an Aunt Faye. I don't have a lot of aunts and uncles, but I have an Aunt Faye, and she's a really, really nice lady. She lives in the state of Washington. That's a long ways away. I've never been to her house. One day I'm hoping to get to go to her house. We don't see each other very much. But as a young person, we didn't have a lot growing up. I'm not complaining. It's just the way it was. We didn't have a lot. We grew up in a little house. I did get the opportunity to go to a Christian school, but I didn't have, you know, a lot of clothes, a lot of those things. I wouldn't say, I know when I tell people, we grew up not very wealthy, and then sometimes after church, somebody comes up, you think you were poor, this is how poor I, and I'm not trying to compare the two. Yes, we did have indoor plumbing, and yes, we did have hot water, and yes, we did have a stove, and there was food on the table. It wasn't always the food we wanted, or at least the food I wanted, but there was food. But I had an Aunt Faye that would always send me money for my birthday. She was my favorite aunt. And she would send you money, like when you were 5 years old, she'd send you $5. When you're 6 years old, she'd send you $6, $7. And that was sweet. That was nice. And you know, over the years, like I said, not having a lot growing up, boy, she was an encouragement over the years. And even when I became an adult, it actually stopped being the 1920. She actually started sending $40 at different times. Not always. I says, man, when I became an adult, that's a good thing. I was going to get $40 instead of $18. And she was, you know, it was somebody in my life, and it's not always about finances, but it was somebody in my life I didn't have a lot of, but it was always an encouragement to get something from her just because I knew she loved me. And probably in my lifetime, there's probably maybe only been five times that I've been able to have a five different visits type thing that she's been over on this side of the country. So I'm saying when they're as an encouragement, I don't want you to think about just encouragement from this side. Okay, they're always friendly, they're always upbeat. I want you to think about what you can do to be an encouragement to other people and an encouragement to your church. Titus here, Paul felt comfortable to send Titus and leave Titus. Look at it in verse number 5. For this cause left I thee. What cause? It's the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the common faith that's mentioned in verse number 4. He says, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith. For this cause, he left him there to do something, that thou shouldst set us in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. As an encouragement when someone is able to bring order into confusion. You think about what Titus is here. He's going back to Crete. He is there, and he is sitting in the area, and this is a brand new group of Christians. It is someone who Titus is supposed to bring order to the church. It is someone who is actually supposed to help set things in order. It says that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. So he's going to a church that is there, and they need preaching. They need teaching. They need discipling. They need people that are going to be patient with them. There's probably some doctrinal errors that are there because remember, as they were going on these missionary journeys, they were many times entering to a land that had never heard the gospel and never heard the teaching and preaching. And Paul would stay at a period of time, but sometimes he would leave behind Titus and sometimes maybe leave behind Luke and sometimes other people to try to set up things in the church. Sometimes it'd be Timothy to get things in. Paul is here. He says, look, Titus is over here in Dalmatia. He's working, and this is what I remember about Titus. Titus was a person who helped those that were in need. There was a bunch of confusion. There was a bunch of things that maybe people did not understand. He helped to firmly establish the churches on the island of Crete in truth and in commitment to Christ. He was someone Paul could trust. I tell you, it is a great encouragement when there is someone who is willing to bring order to confusion. I don't know about you, but sometimes at church activities, sometimes there's crazy things going on. Something over here might start be happening, and I might be over somewhere else, and my wife might be someone else. But someone who actually would go in, and you could trust an individual to go in and take care of and bring order to confusion, is a valuable thing. Maybe you have someone like that in your family. We were talking in Sunday school class a little bit about families, and tonight we're going to talk about a church family a little bit, how Christ is the cornerstone from Ephesians chapter number 2. But there's people who will come in, and they won't increase the confusion. They won't increase the problems. Titus wasn't going to go in there, and he wasn't going to cause more friction. Instead, he was going to take the time to be patient, to disciple them, to preach to them, to teach to them, and encourage them along the way. I can imagine Paul leaves Titus knowing that he could help him. And Pondus, another thing that's encouraging is someone you can trust. Someone you can trust. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25:19, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I don't know about you, but I had had a broken tooth before, and it hurts. I don't know if you ever had a broken tooth or a foot out of joint, but it's something that can be very, very painful. Something that needs to be fixed. And the Bible's saying here is confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Paul is there and he's in prison and he's writing this and he's thinking back and he's talking to Timothy and he's telling Timothy, you know what? Demas is gone. He's left. He's not, that's very discouraging. But then I have this guy named Titus. And this guy named Cretans, and I have you, Timothy. I got all these other people that are serving the Lord. And this is what Titus, and I'm thinking about Paul as he's writing Titus's name. He's thinking about all the things that Titus has done. Now, Titus, the book of Titus actually in the Bible comes after 2 Timothy, but it was written before 2 Timothy. It's not chronologically ordered. And you think, I left Titus in Crete, and Titus did a great work there. Titus was faithful. I could send Titus there and know that Titus was going to bring order to confusion. He wasn't an unfaithful man. He wasn't someone I could not count on. He wasn't somebody I was going to have to go sit there and look over again and check out all the time. I know he would go there and he would be a stabilizing factor inside that church. He would be someone who could go in and where people who are young Christians and people who are confused, and he could bring order and he could set things in order to help this young church. Say, Pastor, what does that have to do about encouragement? I wonder how many in our lives we can say that we're somebody that another person can trust. I know what it talks about, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth. Sometimes I've had to ask certain people to do something, and I really wish I didn't have to ask them because I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know how they're going to respond. I don't know if they're really going to represent what I want them to represent. It's an encouragement when someone is someone you can trust. There is an encouragement about someone that can go in and you know they're going to do things the right way and they're going to do things the way it should be done. It's an encouragement when someone can take confusion and make it into order. See, a person does that. It's not a person who's focused on themselves. It's not focused on their desires. They're focused on setting things in order. And as it says in Titus 1:5, he says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou should be set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee." He was faithful. But I tell you, when I think about different people who have encouraged me in the ministries and different people who have encouraged me inside of a church, it's those that are faithful, those people that you can trust. Not those people that are trying to cause more confusion, not those people that are trying to fan the flame where there might be a problem or issue, but those that will come in and say, hey, what, you know what, blessed are the peacemakers. It's not those that keep me in peace. It's blessed are the peacemakers, those that will come in and say, okay, there is a greater cause. As he said here, he left him there for that cause, for this reason. Yes, it's in reference to the things he wanted to do, but I have to think that it goes back to that common faith. For the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he had said, I'm going to leave you here. Would he rather have been with Paul? I'm sure he would have been. Would he rather have been there? Yes, but he knew he could leave Titus somewhere. And that is such an encouragement. Now, how much of an encouragement it is to give something to someone and say, hey, can you take care of this? And then you don't have to go sit there and try to track them down and try to figure out, are they going to be there? Are they going to be faithful? Are they going to do the things that they're supposed to do? Are they going to follow the guidelines that we're going to give it? Are they all those different things? If you truly want to be an encouragement to your church, be faithful. Be someone you can trust. Be someone that's going to be here and not have to worry about, is this person going to cause a problem when we give them a responsibility, or are they're going to be a blessing there? I think we all want to be an encouragement. And anybody can put on a smile and pat somebody on the back, but are you someone, and let's say when Paul is writing this, I think as he's thinking about Titus, how much an encouragement Titus must have been to him because of the fact that he was willing to bring order to confusion by being a person that could trust and a person that could be faithful. Now, if you go and you study church history a little bit, Titus' spiritual legacy was so strong that nearly two centuries later, there were Cretan Christians that were still committed to Christ to the point of martyrdom. They could be traced back to actually to the churches that Titus had set up and set in order and the elders that were ordained. And he even says that those 10 Christians were given a chance to either renounce Christ or die, and they gave up their life for Christ. That's because someone was there and willing to be an encouragement and help. Next thing I want you to think about, a person who is encouragement is someone that is able to comfort others. A person that is an encourager is a person that can comfort others. Go to your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. If you go do a Google search about the word Titus, there's not a lot of times that Titus is found in the Bible. But he is someone that I believe was a great encouragement to Paul, because Paul was able to put him somewhere and put him to where he was going to bring order to confusion. He wasn't going to do things according to what he wanted. He was going to do exactly what needed to be done. He was going to put elders in every city. So I said he had a big job, but Paul could trust him, and he was faithful. Second thing I want you to think about, a person that is an encouragement is a person that is able to comfort others. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Look what it says in verse number 6. Chapter 7, verse number 6. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comfort us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Now, if you think about the church at Corinth, the church of Corinth was one of the churches that struggled a little bit. They struggled with sin. They struggled with being carnal. In Sunday school, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and we talked about how Paul said, you're acting childish. You're being competitive against one another. Some are saying, I'm of Apollos. Some are saying, of Paul. He says, stop acting like little kids and act like a grown-up Christian, and stop putting the emphasis on being competitive with one another, and instead do the work that God can give us to do. Some are going to water, some are going to plant, but God's going to give the increase, but we're going to get our own reward someday when Christ judges us according to what we've done in this body for him since we've been saved. Here in 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing back as the church is struggling again a little bit more. He sent Titus there to get help and to help the church that was struggling. Titus comes back, and Paul writes this. He says, verse number 6, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. He says, God is the one that can comfort those that are cast down. You say, well, how does God do that? Well, God does it many ways. God can do it through his word. You know how many times I got encouragement through song. Today, the ladies trio, they did a wonderful job what a man talking about Jesus. I mean, what a great song. That encouraged me. But another way is that God uses people sometimes to be an encouragement. He says, look, God is going to be the one that comforted those that are cast down. But he says, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Titus was someone that was a comfort to be around. As Paul wrote and sent 1 Corinthians to confront some of the errors in doctrine and the practices of the church at Corinth, his burden for the Corinthians believers only grew. It's sort of like he's writing and saying, okay, this is what's wrong. He's telling them that they're childish and that they're being carnal. They're showing envyings and strife and division. So he sends that letter with Titus, and he's wondering what the response is going to be like. And while he's there, the problems and what's in his mind is growing and growing. And then he sees Titus come back. And Titus is an encouragement to him. Titus tells him in verse number 7, there's consolation there. He says that when he told us of the earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Titus came back with good news. Titus came back and says, the church received the letter. Good. The church... You want to turn this one on for me? Okay. Titus is somebody who was an encouragement to him. He comforted them. I want to ask you a question. Are you good at comforting somebody else? Now, don't get me wrong. You don't always have to know what to say, but God is the one that comforts us. But God uses other people. You know what? There are some people in this world that are very comforting, and there's some people in this world that are just uncomfortable to be around. There are some people in the world that are very comforting, and it's an attribute of being a comforter of others. They are able to lift others up, and they're able to be a blessing and a help. There are those who stir up controversy. There are those who stir up division. Titus was not such a person. He was not a person that brings agitation. He's not a person that causes... He's someone who is at peace with himself and is peace of bringing a comfort and a help. There are those whose very presence brings agitation to those that are around them. That's not what the Bible says we should be. We should want to be an encouragement and a help to others. And that's what Titus is, Paul is, I'm sure, when he's thinking. Because I remember when Titus helped us at Crete. I remember when Titus came back and he brought that letter back from Corinth. Boy, I was really concerned. I was really wondering what the church had and how the church was going to respond. And then Titus comes back and he encourages us. He comforts us with this. And he tells us the good news. The third thing I want you to think about, an encourager is not only someone who brings peace by being faithful and trustworthy, but an encourager is someone who is able to bring comfort. Last but not least, an encourager is someone who seeks to solve problems. Someone who seeks to solve problems. Take your Bible and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verses 16 and 17. Just probably one page over for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. Now, so what I'm seeing here is that Paul gave Titus a responsibility. Titus not only did what Paul had asked him to do, he went beyond what Paul asked him to do. Not only did he travel, not only did he write or maybe help write, on their, help Paul write this and the idea that Paul told him what to write and sent the letter, but he went there personally to this church in Corinth. He went there to help solve the problems. To me, Titus seems to have understood that what many people miss. There are some situations that need to be resolved face to face. There are some situations that instead of just relaying the chain and the letter for Paul, he wanted to go there. If you read what it says here, it says in verse number 16, he says, put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus. Titus had the opportunity and privilege to be able to let God work in his heart about caring about the church of Corinth. Now, the church of Corinth is someone who had issues, had someone who had problems, but God put into his heart to work with somebody else. You think about that. Are our hearts open to help with people that have problems? And don't get me wrong, the world's full of problems today. There are so many issues and so many difficulties. As we heard the choir singing, you know, you look around at children and you're wondering, you look at their little faces and you're wondering, you know, what's the future going to be like for them? And as America has turned away from God and turned away from the things of God, we need to bring America back to God. But at the same time, have we allowed our hearts to be open and receptive to God speaking to our hearts about the problems and issues? There's all types of problems. You can bring up lots of problems. But are you allowing God to work in your heart, not just to fix everybody else, but allow God to put a burden in your life and God put a burden in your heart about how to fix the problems? We could talk about the issues that maybe bus kids have or the children have or issues around our building or issues that are around America and issues in certain parts of the town. But are we allowing God to put a burden inside our own heart? And that's what happens here. He said, thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation. He accepted what he was told to do. But he took it a step farther, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. So he didn't just do what he was asked to do. He took it a step farther because he allowed God to work in his heart and his mind. And now you sit there and you remember, Paul's sitting there and he's
in jail. And he's not just in jail. He's been there many times before. He says, I'm ready to be offered. I'm done. And in a few days, they're going to take my life, or a few months. We don't know exactly when. I'm getting ready to leave this world. And as I write this, Demas has forsaken me. Demas is not there. And there's none here with me but Luke. Now, Titus, he's out there doing what he's supposed to do. Cretans is out there doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing what they're supposed to do. And as he's writing that, how much of an encouragement? He says, you know what? I remember that Titus. That Titus was a person I could send to Crete, and he was going to set everything in order inside that city and inside the cities in that island. And it says that hundreds of years later, that Titus's work is still there and traceable back to even martyrs that gave that you could trace back to the work that Titus did. And then you think about Titus. I remember the time when I was worried about the church of Corinth. I was worried about how they were going to respond to the letter. And I remember how much of a comfort that Titus was. He was someone who brought order to confusion. He's someone who comforted us when I was downcast. And now he's someone that not only will do what's told, but take the extra mile as God leads them to. Now, Titus was a person that was an encouragement to Paul. I'm sure he was a guy that probably was happy, and someone who maybe patted somebody on the back and said, are you having a good day? I hope you have a good day. You know, I pray for you. But I look back on those lives, the years of my life, there are certain people that are an encouragement to me. People who try to fix a problem more than being a problem, that's an encouragement. People that you can trust, and you know that they're going to be there, and that can help bring order to confusion. And there are some people in our church, when there's something going on, I'll go to them and say, hey, can you help go back there a little bit? There's some problems. Can you just make sure everything's okay? I wouldn't send everybody back there, because there's certain people that's going to make the problem worse. There's some people that will go back and tell me, you're right, preacher, there's a bad problem back there. I'm like, did you do something to help fix it? And so it's the idea, do you want to be an encouragement to one another? Do you want to be an encouragement to your church? Church is bigger than we are. You should be part of a local body, and you should get involved, and you should serve. And it's not for us, it's for the cause of Christ. For this reason I left thee. There was a purpose and reason why I left thee. And that's what Paul is saying here, that Titus, I remember I asked Titus to get the letter there, but he didn't just stop at that. He personally delivered the letter there. He personally made it his problem. He personally took an interest in fixing the problem. And it says, as the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. And you might say, well, yeah, I'll go back there. I'll fix the problem. I'll take care of those kids. Tie them up with duct tape, you know, put them to the wall. I can fix it. No. What does it say here? It says that thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. His heart was open. It was receptive. It wasn't, well, I'll take care of singing, or I'll take care of the nursery, or I'll take care of one. No. He had his heart open to what God would have him to do. So many times we like to pick and choose. Oh, it's got to be this way. It's got to be that way. But when you have a church full of people of different backgrounds, different personalities, they're not always encouraging. But the encouraging people are the people that allow God to work in their heart and work in their lives to be a person that can help solve problems instead of creating problems. Take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, and we'll finish up with this one. It's just a few pages over there. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. Paul is writing to this church at Corinth once again, and 2 Corinthians is not an easy letter either. He's still dealing with some people. There's still problems in the church. And Paul says, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 18, he says, I desire Titus, and with him I sent a brother. He said, did Titus make gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? So what he's saying there is, I sent Titus unto you, and he didn't try to profit off you. He says, we had the same mind, the same spirit, the same heart. And he's saying, walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? He's using this as an example of, hey, look, we're trying to do the same thing. We're trying to help. We're trying to work together. And we're working together for the cause of Christ. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about for the faith of the gospel in Philippians 1:27 as a springboard and looking at how we should strive in ministry and how we should work together in ministry. And that's what Paul is saying here. this is what Titus did, and how much of an encouragement it must have been to Paul to be able to write words like this. I know what Titus did when he was there. He walked just like I did. He did the same things I did. He did the same steps I did. We're working together on the same team. Don't try to put us against each other. I'm the one that sent him. I would rather kept him. He's a blessing to me when he's around, but I sent him because you needed him, and he didn't make gain off of you. He didn't do it. Don't say any of that stuff. Now, so when we come to the spot, what do we get from application today? First thing is, the cause of Christ is greater than any of us. The fact that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again for our sins is greater than anything else that we can do in this personal life than telling people about Jesus Christ, discipling people. God gives us a ministry of family, and God gives a ministry first and foremost to him. But then there's the family, and then there's the church. But we see this example of Titus, and we don't often do a study a little bit about one individual on a Sunday morning. But when I was thinking about how much Titus was an encouragement to Paul, I wonder inside our churches, how much are we an encouragement? How encouraging it is to see people be faithful. How encouraging it is to see somebody be able to be trustworthy and say, you know what, I know that person can help here. I can send that person, not me personally talking about as a pastor, but I'm talking about in general. How much of an encouragement is that person can help bring order to confusion, or how that person can be a person who solves the problems? I want to ask, how much of an encouragement are you inside your own family? Are you a person that can be trusted? Are you a person that's going to be faithful? Are you a person that's going to be working together for the cause of Christ? Then the next question is, how much of you are we an encouragement inside our own church house? There are those who bring agitation. I told the story a little bit this morning about how our church back home where I grew up had a church split. And there were those who brought agitation into the whole picture, and that they were being carnal and they were being childish. And I also, are we being an encouragement to others? Are you an encouragement to one another? And I'm not just talking about, and it's important to have people that smile and encourage and say nice, kind words. That's a way of being encouragement. But I'm talking about an encouragement about being faithful and trustworthy, being willing to be part of the solution instead of part of the problem, being willing to have your heart open to where God can work in your heart to do something in your life so you can help that happen inside our church or inside your own family, and also just a person that can comfort one another. There's times when we are able to comfort others, but that's only when we allow God to work in our hearts first to be comforted. This morning, are you being an encouragement to those around you? Or are you trying to be someone that's in agitation? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.